for the winner by split decision.
It's time for your number one source for mixed martial arts. Mixed martial
arts. There! Oh, Jesus! It is over! Wow!
Breaking down the week's news and results.
Roll call!
The authority for combat sports.
Want to take a chance and risk getting knocked out?
Oh my God! Wow! Wow! It is all over!
This is the split decision.
Can he get it here, Mike Nichols? Oh my God, he's done it!
And we are back for another week.
We are back. And we are back. We're risking our lives.
I tell you what, we are.
For this podcast. This weather is terrible.
It was raining very hard on the way in.
Raining, hailing, gusting winds. We podcast no matter the weather.
Yes, no matter the weather.
No matter. Now, of course, we're podcasting indoors.
Right.
Which helps.
Yeah, we won't go outside to podcast.
No, we're not
going to
do that. We're not going to do that outside podcast we've been talking about.
It was crazy, the weather, because I remember I called you before we got here.
You did.
And I called you, one, because I was kind of hoping, like, you'd like, no, man, let's not do it, because I was really nervous.
Right.
I was like, oh, God, I can't see anything. I'm on the highway.
Visibility was zero.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, if Turner just says, hey, man, nah, let's just wait, you know, till next week. I'm like, all right, cool. Because I didn't want to sound like a pussy.
Right.
but you're like, no, I'll just jump in the truck. I'm like, well, fuck, all right, I'll keep going.
Well, when you called me, I looked outside, and it wasn't even raining that hard. I'm like, what is he talking about? And then I got on the highway, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going 60, and this rain is really hard.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. For the new listeners out there, my name is T-Mac.
And I am Turner.
And we talk about MMA, but it's more of a conversation. So you're not going to get the structure of, and then in the second bout of the night, or let me take a break. It's just a talk. We're just talking.
We get off topic pretty regularly.
Yeah. Case in point, Dallas Browning. We talked about rubs and barbecue.
Yeah. We got off on a little barbecue a tangent there for a while, which I think was nice.
Yeah, it was very good.
It was nice.
And so that's what you can expect. But let's just get right into it. Last night, UFC 172.
We watched the fights together for the first time in a while, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it felt right.
It did.
And I kept turning to you and going, we're going to talk about that on the show tomorrow after everything that happened. And now I don't remember any of them, but yeah.
It was a good night of fights, though.
It was.
I mean, the prelims really started it off right.
Yeah.
Chris Beals' flying knee, which I always hate saying flying knee. It just sounds weird to me, but
right.
It was one of the best ones I've ever seen.
It was nasty.
It was cool because it wasn't like he had him up against the cage and he was like just unloading, you know, one, twos, and then a flying knee. He like was chasing him down and I can't remember the guy's name, but he was circling away
right.
And caught him with like a flying knee as the guy was circling away and he was just
It was
unconscious.
On the button.
Yeah.
It was flush.
Yeah, that was... I can't think of a really, honestly, I'm trying to recap in my mind the fights last night. I really can't think of a bad fight that I saw. I mean,
it was one of the most enjoyable top to bottom cards that I can think of in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you had guys that looked so impressive that are really getting overshadowed. One guy I was thinking of is Jim Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Miller dominated.
I really wanted to see that Jim Miller Bobby Green fight.
Yeah.
Which was the original fight that was scheduled.
And I hope maybe they do make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause Bobby Green's an active fighter and as is Jim Miller. So
he called out, I'm never going to get his name right. Khabib,
the 20-0
guy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Jim Miller said he wants a fight with him next, which I think that guy is fighting. He's got a fight scheduled.
He does have a fight scheduled. Well, originally, he has an interesting story because remember, he had that fight with Gilbert Melendez original.
Yes.
Originally. And then UFC was like, nope, don't want to do that anymore.
All the media sources were like, yeah, fight, you know, UFC, whatever, done deal. And then Dana White tweeted and was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, no one signed papers for that fight. And
right.
Then they were just like, it just never, like, fell through the cracks.
Yeah.
Gilbert was going to leave, and then the Bellator stuff happened, and
yeah,
it was
so
really
then,
bizarre. Now he's coaching on the show, like, also a fighter.
Of course. Because then he had the Gilbert situation, and then he called out Nate Diaz.
Right.
And Nate Diaz was like... All right.
Yeah.
But then Dana White was like, nah, Nate Diaz turned it down. And then Nate went crazy and was like, no, I didn't.
Right.
And so Khabib has this like, he reminds me a lot of Conor McGregor,
mm-hmm.
where it's like everyone wants to fight this you know, rising star.
Right.
I think it's before he gets good. You know what I mean? Like, let me get him now, because in 6 months, he's probably going to be twice as good as he is today.
Well, he had, I mean, I watched him, I think it was the Gleison Tibau fight. And that was before, I mean, first of all, the guy was, you know, like 18-0. I mean, and you've won 18 fights in a row and you have, you know, you've never lost in your career. You're obviously very solid and fighting at a high level. When I watched him fight Gleison Tibau, I was like, wow, you know, this is, like, this guy's nasty. And then he fought Pat Healy, did the same. I mean, just worked Pat Healy. Like, man, he's got a bright future. And I think there's a lot of really awesome fights for him at 55. I'd love to see the Jim Miller fight. I think that'd be awesome. Jim Miller
is so
a gangster.
Fun. It's so fun to watch too.
That guillotine was nasty.
The reason why I think I like him so much is because he fights like your traditional, not traditional, but what like the hardcore MMA fans like, right? So he has slick submissions, good stand-up, but he looks like Matt Hughes.
Yeah.
And you think he's not that good of a fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't look to be athletic at all. He doesn't have a chiseled, ripped body. Like, he's just a normal guy who happens to be very good at fighting. Yeah, I think there's only a handful of guys in the world that can beat Jim Miller.
Yeah.
He's good. He's good off his back. He's solid.
I think the only thing that gets to him maybe, and this is me just from an outsider's perspective, is it seems like there's been a couple of fights where maybe the situation of if you win, you get a title shot kind of thing.
He's got a little Michael Bisping syndrome.
Yeah, where it gets to him a little bit. So other than that, though, like you said, I don't see too many people
there. He's too good everywhere. I think that he has a good chance to stay in the top 10 you know, for the next. I mean, he's not getting any younger. Obviously, none of us are, but he's still very, very relevant no matter who he fights. And he only, like, kind of like Bisping, loses to the Ben Henderson, the Nate Diaz, isn't, you know, the top guys. So he's in a good place.
Very good place. Yeah, making that money too.
He's in a good place. So he's in a good place.
Doing well. Now let's talk about kind of a sore subject for us, but it was a great fight.
Yes.
The Joseph Benavidez, Tim Elliott fight.
Right.
Tim, he even said it on our show, and honest to God, I referred right back to it as soon as he ran out and didn't touch gloves and just went right at him.
Yeah.
Is on our show a couple weeks ago, he said, I'm traditionally a slow starter.
Right.
So I'm going to change that.
And he sprinted.
Like, yeah. And so he did it. I was like, fuck yeah, we got some inside information.
Yeah.
You
like,
know?
He sprinted.
Yeah. And it was really great. And man, 3 for 3 on takedowns.
Easy takedowns.
Throwing him around.
Easy.
Almost had his back.
Had a crucifix at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he could not have started, the fight could not have started any better.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the game plan. Like you said, he talked about being a fast starter coming out, you know, not waiting until the later rounds to kind of give it everything. He was going to leave it all in there. And man, he could not have drawn it up any better.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I honestly really love about MMA is if you look at that, Tim Elliott won 98% of that fight.
Yeah.
But lost because
anything can literally
happen. And he got caught in what Joseph Benavidez called the, what was it? Jokatine
is
something.
Whatever.
But, that's what makes MMA awesome is you could literally win every second of the fight and then one thing happens and you have lost.
At that high of a level, like I always talk about how you're never in a good position.
Right.
Like, I firmly believe, like, of course there's, you know, you'd rather be on top than on bottom. You'd rather be, you know, here than there, but you're never in a safe, you're never safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care if you're in mount. I don't care if you're never safe. And he wasn't in a bad position. I mean, you know, he had him in side control. He was working back to half guard. I mean, it wasn't like he made a mistake. He got caught and those Alpha Male guys have ridiculous front chokes. And, you know, the unfortunate part was both of his arms were trapped. When Benavidez went to mount with the choke, both of his arms got trapped.
Mm.
Had neither one of his arms been trapped, there's no way Joseph Benavidez finishes that guillotine. Krause has one of the best guillotines in the world and has trouble guillotining Tim.
Right.
He just landed in a great position, had his arms trapped, and, you know, that's
got the win.
That's how it goes.
It's interesting though for Joseph Benavidez now is because he, just like his teammate Uriah Faber, kind of in this weird spot where it's like, man, I can beat everyone but the champ.
Second best in the world.
Yeah, second best in the world.
That's it.
So I don't know what he does because, you know, He can't go up.
Well, they're probably not going to make the Joseph Benavidez Mighty Mouse 3.
When right.
But hell, then all of a sudden you make a BJ Penn Frank Yeager 3 that doesn't make any sense on the show. So, I mean, if he keeps winning fights and there's not a abundance of flyweights, mm-hmm. I mean, they're almost going to have no choice but to go, okay, you know, I mean, think about it. I think, like Tim talked about in some interviews this week, I think Bagatinov's going to get killed by Mighty Mouse.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, where do you go from that? You know, what's next?
Right.
I guess if Brad Pickett beats Ian McCall, maybe you give Brad Pickett I don't know. Who is there?
Right. John Dodson?
Dodson's probably deserving. He probably deserves a rematch, but he's still going to have to go out and win another fight.
Right.
You know, there's still going to be a big gap in the, in the division.
It's just interesting for him to kind of be in that spot because it's like, he probably thinks, give me a title shot tomorrow kind of thing, but it's like, well, we just saw you get knocked out. And not really.
But, you know, I think that he's in a good position because he's getting paid well. He's number two guy in the world. Even if he never gets another crack at the title, he's still important enough. Mm-hmm. He's still relevant enough in the division where people are going to want to watch him fight. It's the guys like, you know, who have been number one contenders and, you know, who kind of, I use Lyoto Machida as an example, and he's still exciting to fight and very relevant. But, you know, he's had two title shots at two different weight classes, you know, and really kind of has less allure and appeal, as far as getting put on cards and wanting people to mm-hmm. watch him than he used to.
Oh, yeah.
And that just comes from him never, you know, he was the champion at one point. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's still very, very relevant, but he's kind of fading into the.
Yeah. Cause you just go, okay, well, it's Machida. It's against this type of guy. So I'm going to bet it's a knockout this time.
Well, yeah. And it's like, and Machida can beat, you know, every single 205er or 85er, you know, up to a certain point, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, that's where it stops. And it's like, well, I don't really want to watch him fight those guys because I know he's going to, you know, I know he's going to have trouble with those guys, but man, I want to watch him fight all these guys because he's still very good, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep. So
it's interesting.
Yeah. And then it's interesting to see what Tim Elliott goes.
He's going to bounce back. I think there's a lot of guys. I think they probably give him Lineker next. He's coming off a loss to Bagatinov.
That's what I'd like to see.
And that's a great, great, great matchup for Tim. That's a great, I mean, Lineker comes to throw down, and so does Tim, and I think that's a
I just think it's interesting. Fight. Either, and Tim said this before, either the UFC hates him or just thinks he's really, really good and entertaining, because he literally does not get a first time into the UFC guy or, you know, one of these.
He never got the Daryl Montag or the Yassier Formiga or whatever that guy's name is. Now, they threw him right to the wolves, and he showed last night that he can compete with anybody, mm-hmm. anybody in the world he can compete with.
Yep.
And that's good. It's, the bigger the names, the better he gets, the more money he makes, you know, he wants to fight big name guys, and it makes that money. And that's what he's there for.
Definitely. Another guy that was very impressive, I thought, Luke Rockhold.
Yeah.
Luke Rockhold, really, I've never seen, and obviously I've watched a million UFC fights, but I don't train, so I don't see the training of it, but how he stuffed that takedown and then went to a triangle choke, but from top.
Brian Davidson calls that the dirty butt. And he used to hit it all the time in the gym. And he's very, very good at it. And Anthony explains it really well. That's not a submission that you're going to finish high level guys with because it's just a different angle. You're not necessarily in trouble as far as going to sleep or having to tap, but it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm,
so you still have to acknowledge that you're getting choked, but you're not, it's like, okay, I'm not going to go out from this or tap, but this sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in a bad position. And we were watching it. I was a little bit intoxicated last night and I was screaming, watch for the Kimura. Because Brian used to, that was his setup. I mean, that was his Kimura setup.
Right.
You know, you almost have one arm trapped where you can't defend. The only way to defend the Kimura is to try to be stronger than the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he went for that Kimura and
he got it.
Ripped it off.
Then he called out Vitor Belfort.
He did.
And that seems interesting because Vitor knocked him out.
Just slept him.
And it wasn't like a lucky punch. I mean, he got him with a spinning
heel kick.
Yeah,
right?
spinning heel kick. So it was pretty impressive. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I don't know if it most likely that fight will happen because Luke Rockhold is appealing. He can sell tickets, and Vitor obviously, and now with the off TRT, what is he going to look like kind of thing. And
yeah.
You can do the before
what's
and after.
What's his performance going to – how is it going to affect his performance?
Right, and you can do a before and after. So if he, right. if it suffers, like, well, the first time you fought him, look what he did. And now the second time, look what he did. So
he's going to have the – has the opposite before and after. The normally you have the bad pick first and then you get better. He's going to be soft, flabby. But you said it best about Luke Rockhold last night. You said – you know, there's something about Luke Rockhold that I don't like because he can beat me up and take my girlfriend.
Yeah, what
he's
an
a
asshole.
Good-looking guy.
Right. Yeah, what a jerk.
Yeah.
I you know.
He's got it all.
Yeah. Like I like the guys that have like the huge cauliflower ear or the Bigfoot Silvas.
He looks like a fucking model.
Yeah. He looks like a goddamn Abercrombie model.
And he's also
model.
Really good at fighting too.
Yeah. Like fuck him, man.
He's
jerk.
Got it all. Yeah. Can't be both.
Yeah. You
unless
can't
you're
be
Luke
both.
Rockhold.
Unless you are Luke. Going back to cuz I was looking through the results right now. When I walked to your house to watch these fights.
You walked to my house?
Well, I walked in.
Oh. Okay.
Walked in.
I was going to say, that's dedication.
Yeah, thanks. The very first thing I saw as you yelled at us to eat your pizza was Danny Castillo.
Yes.
Knocking the
Nasty.
Hell out of Charlie Brenneman. I mean, here's the thing with long haired guys, the Clay Guidas, the Charlie Brennemans, is when you hit them, all the hair moves, so it looks a little bit crazier than what it might
be. It's like a slow motion video.
Right. Yeah. But man, that was great.
It was good. And I'm a real big Danny Castillo fan. I like him. I think he's very talented and he's one of those guys, like, he's, I think he's just now starting to come into his own. You know, he's kind of figuring out who he is as a fighter and his strengths, weaknesses, and skill set. And there's a lot of guys that I want to watch him compete with at 55. Just, I mean, it sounds so stupid to say because it's like, well, yeah, I'm obviously a diehard fight fan, so I want to watch.
Right.
There's a lot of fights that I want to watch, but he's a guy in particular that I think
gets you excited.
Gets me excited and could be, you know, a legitimate problem at 55. I mean, his wrestling's good. His striking's evolving. His, you know, his whole game is kind of coming together. And he's fought with some great guys and he's been in some good fights. And I think he's just now starting to kind of pave his way to getting into that top 10 and, and, you know, fight some of those. And Charlie Brennan's good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got great wrestling and he's a guy that's fought a lot of really good guys. And, you know, it's a good win for Danny.
You want to see a good radio transition?
Yes.
So you said about a fighter coming into his own.
Yes.
Another fighter who did that last night was Anthony Johnson.
Anthony Johnson is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
He's going to be a problem.
I mean, you know, I think the shock factor made it more surprising is, wow, we didn't think that. It was number 14 versus number 4, right? And Anthony Johnson's first fight, 205, in the UFC.
Yeah.
So let's see how he does. But, man, that looked a lot like Phil Davis Rashad Evans.
Right.
It
was very, very similar.
It was so good. Just a great performance from Anthony Johnson. It was almost as if he didn't respect his striking and his takedowns he was just ready for. It was like that was the only thing he might have trained for was just, I'm going to stuff this takedown because he walked through anything Phil Davis tried to throw and was just beating his ass. And he is so, and I hate to say this because black guys get this stigma, but he's so athletic.
Right.
You know what
I mean?
He's
so black.
Yeah, he's so black.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you said, he can give a lot of people problems. One guy I instantly thought of after he fought Phil Davis and won because he was ranked 14 to see where he is, because that could have just been one amazing night by Anthony Johnson and Phil Davis.
Could have been his night.
Yeah. Right. I want to see him fight the guy that Gustafson knocked out.
Jimmy Manua.
Jimmy Manua.
Whatever
yes.
his name is.
Yeah. I think that would be a good fight.
I think what's interesting is I was never on the Phil Davis train. I thought he had a lot of upside and I thought he could be good because of he's a long, lanky, good wrestler. You know, he's a John Jones body style with good wrestling but I never fully was bought in, I guess. I never really thought that he could make a run. And I think it was after the Rashad fight where I was just like, okay, Rashad's obviously a top five guy, has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Phil Davis just isn't there yet.
Right.
Maybe he'll get there, but he's not there yet.
Last night, it
solidified to me that he's got a really, really long way to go in evolving his game. Now, Anthony Johnson's good. Anthony Johnson, like you said, is going to give a lot of guys problems at 205 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not John Jones.
Right.
He's not Rashad Evans. He's not those guys who should be working Phil Davis like that.
Mm.
And maybe at 205, he maybe we haven't seen the best Anthony Johnson because he was cutting 50 pounds to get to 70.
Oh my God.
And even
yeah.
get to 85. Mm-hmm. Maybe 205, we're going to see the best Anthony Johnson because he's not cutting ridiculous weight. He's healthy. He feels good. We'll see. I mean, I'm excited. I like the Jimmy Manawa fight for him. I like the Ryan Jumo. Or Jimmo, however you say his name. Bader. Yeah, there's a bunch of guys.
You know who I think this sucks for? And he's probably thinking, like, son of a bitch again, is Rashad Evans.
Right.
Like, obviously, I don't think Anthony Johnson is in that realm yet.
Yeah.
But let's just say that Anthony Johnson wins impressively two more times in a row. Well, shit. People are going to go, well, why don't he fight Rashad? Yeah. And Rashad's going to be like, seriously? Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, John Jones, now this guy.
Right. He's got, yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, Rashad's like a top, he's like the gatekeeper of the top five.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
like the guy where you have to beat him before you can be considered top five.
Mm-hmm. You know, Phil Davis, going back to him, he's interesting because I never know how I feel about him. Because, like you said, after that Rashad fight, I'm like, okay, he's not there yet.
Right.
But then you go back, and yes, it was a long time ago, but man, he worked Gustafson.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
then, you know, he's worked Gustafson. He beat the hell out of Tim Boach. Remember when he basically made himself?
Yeah, trapped his own arm.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like he does these – he beat Lyoto Machida. It's
yep.
like, okay, so you're beating Lyoto Machida, and you're beating Gustafson, but then you kind of look like shit against Anthony Johnson and Rashad Evans, which I know those are good guys. But so I don't know where he's at. I don't even know who he should fight next.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point when you said he beat Gustafson and worked him. I think that shows how far – Gustafson's game has mm-hmm. evolved and how Phil Davis's maybe hasn't, because Gustafson's big thing was he couldn't stop a takedown.
Yeah.
Now it's like he was taking John Jones down. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, you know, he figured out the problems that he was having against those guys, which was the wrestling. He actually trains at Alliance, I think, now, full time.
Who's that?
Gustafson, when he's in the United States.
Yeah,
trains
yeah,
at
he
Alliance.
Trains with Phil.
So he went to Alliance after that fight and worked on his wrestling.
Yep.
And then he comes out and takes down one of the better wrestlers in John Jones in the division and made it look easy
yeah.
and stuffed Jones's shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think Phil Davis needs to go work on that style. I mean, work on his striking to get to the level of evolving his game where he doesn't have to rely on, because like you said, Anthony Johnson was just like, I know he's gonna be taking shots on my legs all night,
right?
You know, and he's Anthony Johnson's a good wrestler.
Yeah, very good.
You know,
wrestler.
He's tough.
Yeah, and for some reason it seemed to me that like Phil Davis was throwing a 1-2, for example, but the second punch was already in defense. He wasn't committing to the mm-hmm. second punch. It was, okay, I'm going to do something to you, but don't, God, you might
yeah.
do something back.
Right.
And it was never like he was committed to beating him up, you
yeah.
know?
And I think a lot of those, the 1-2s you're talking about are to set up those takedowns to mm-hmm. Put something in front of it, as Austin Ford says at Grindhouse, you know, you gotta put something in front of it to kind of mask your takedown, I guess. So, yeah, I think he could be a really good striker. His frame and body is
yeah,
is long, it's lanky, he's big, he's a big guy. He just has to work on it. I think once he gets more comfortable in the striking and relying less on his wrestling, he could be, you know, he
really
could
good.
Be very, very good.
Definitely. And then let's get to the main event. It was John Jones. And give me the line of the night for the fight. It was,
oh, when we were watching?
Yeah.
It was a beating.
It was a beating. Oh, my God. You said that probably 200 times.
I bet. Okay, so John Jones was a 4-1 favorite, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the people at my house were going crazy thinking that was ridiculous. And I was intoxicated, and I said, "That's like it wouldn't surprise me if he was a 5-1 or a 6. Like this is a good matchup for him. He's the champion. No one except Gustafson has even come close to beating him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is Glover to what? You know, why would you think that Glover Teixeira possesses the skill set to beat him? So I made two bets, three bets at 5-1,
mm-hmm.
$10 bets at 5-1. So I was the Brazilian corner guy where like when a Brazilian lands a leg kick, they go, hey, like to kind of like tell the judges like, yeah, you landed a kick. I wanted to do that with the fight. So as soon as the fight started,
yeah.
I just started yelling, this is a beating, just to let them know that like, hey, you know, like, yeah, like John Jones is winning this fight and you're going to pay me money. And they did. And
after
and
every,
it was a beating. It was a beating.
It was. After every round. This is a beating. Just walk it back.
Cause I didn't think it was going to be, I didn't think it was going to be that, that the fight was going to go that way. I knew, I thought he was going to win. I thought he was going to get on top and beat John Jones.
Yeah.
And it was just, he had him on the, he was just punishing him. Mm-hmm. It looked like,
it
looked
money.
Like John Jones Shogun.
Yeah.
When, at the, where he finished Shogun in that third round, mm-hmm. where he was on the fence and just, I mean, he just hitting him with whatever he wanted.
Yeah. He was bullying him and
he was. And Glover's a big, strong guy.
Yeah. And, well, and Glover said that he messed up his shoulder in the first round. So
I believe it.
Maybe that has something to do with it. You know, when someone's leaning on the shoulder that hurts and you're trying to throw a punch with that arm, you know. But yeah, it was like a schoolyard beating where it's like, hey, I'm putting you up, up against the fence. I'm going to beat you up and take your lunch money and then steal the basketball from you. You know,
and
like,
there's nothing that you can do about
nothing
it.
Nothing you can do about it. And now I guess it's going to be John Jones versus Gustafson.
Which is going to, which has got me very excited.
You know what? It has me excited because obviously this is the closest anyone's came to beating.
You actually saw John Jones get tested.
But here's my thought process is, I kind of feel like that's the best Gustafson had.
The UFC, yeah.
And I think it's going to be Jones dominant. You know what I mean? It's similar to this feeling, and I was completely wrong about this feeling the first time around, so maybe I'm wrong the second time around. But when Lyoto Machida fought Shogun and they went to a decision, I thought, wow, Shogun looked amazing. It's probably the best you're ever going to see. Well, then the second fight, Shogun
smashed
him.
Right.
But I think with John Jones just being 26 years old, still in the prime, and now Gustafson's same.
Only getting better.
Yeah, same boat. Right. But
oh, yeah.
I just feel like that first fight was Gustafson's best chance to beat him. And the second time around, I think because Jones is so versatile with his striking and takedowns and whatever he
different
wants.
Different animal.
Yeah, it's going to be some new trick he probably learns in a month that he's going to use, and Gustafson won't have an answer for it.
Well, I think that, and this is going to kind of sound stupid, but I think the UFC is not making a mistake, but like you just said, they're both young guys. I think they're both 26, maybe Gustafson is 27, but I think they're making a mistake in making this rematch happen right now. Now, of course, that being said, there's nobody else at 205 to challenge John Jones.
Right.
But you got to figure at the rate that those two guys are getting better, they're going to meet again, obviously, the fight sign, if not a couple more times.
It's kind of like
those are the two best guys by far.
Well, and it's kind of like up in heavyweight with Cain Velasquez and Junior
Santos.
Santos.
Like,
it's like,
yeah.
All right, well, they're going to fight for a fourth time.
And here's
know?
The thing. I mean, if they continue to put on the second fight's like the first one, it's almost like you could have flipped a coin on that fight. Mm-hmm. You know, if the second one's like that, Dana White and those guys, they have no problem making a trilogy if the first two are even if Gustafson loses the second one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that fight was razor close,
uh-huh.
Also sharp. I think that if there was another able body who could give John Jones a test, I think they would benefit from maybe making this rematch happen down the road when, but there's nobody else for Gustafson either. I mean,
right now, next month, you've got Cormier and Dan Henderson.
That's true.
Winner gets a title shot, I think they said this to kind of make it seem like Dan Henderson, they're behind, but I think the title shot's obviously for Cormier.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Henderson got knocked out by Vitor two fights ago and got knocked out twice, but ended up winning against Shogun. Right. You know what I mean?
I was talking to a guy, friend of mine, and he was asking if the Cormier, Dan Henderson fight even excited me at all. And I told him that because of what happened when Rashad got hurt and he fought Patrick Cummings, the UFC needs to give him a name to mm-hmm. beat at 205 before they just throw him into the title shot, because he technically hasn't. I mean, he fought Pat Cummings at 205. That was his only fight at 205. Mm-hmm. You know, he needs a big win over a name guy to kind of give him the title shot hype and make him a little bit more relevant at 205. But I mean, here's the thing. Daniel Cormier is one of the best in the world, and he probably, other than Gustafson, would give John Jones the best shot. I don't think you can ever count out Dan Henderson.
Oh,
now,
no.
Now, I'm not saying he's going to win that fight. That's a bad matchup for him. I think Cormier is better at everything. But, man, I remember when I thought that Dan Henderson had no shot against Fedor.
Right.
Knocked him out. I remember when I thought he had no shot against Shogun.
Knocked him out.
First time.
Yeah.
Knocked, you know, not didn't knock him out, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a great fight.
Yeah.
Then Shogun the second time, it's like, you just can't count him out. I don't know why.
My thinking about that is because Dan Henderson is a fighter, not a mixed martial artist, where, you know, you could do all these technical moves and, okay, 1-2 and move into a takedown and all this stuff.
Right.
Where Dan Henderson is just like, no, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to try to hit you as hard as I can. And I've got amazing power behind my right hand. And he relies on it a little bit too much. It becomes a little bit, okay, Dan, we get it. You threw that right another time.
Right.
But that's what keeps him in the fight is he's going to fight you and he's got power for days.
Certainly.
I think Cormier, this is just me, if I'm predicting, I think Cormier takes him to the ground and just
beats him up.
Yeah. Because for Dan Henderson being the Olympic wrestler and all this stuff, he hasn't used his wrestling in 5 years.
Since the Anderson Silva fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And he's basically a glorified, better version of Rampage to me.
Yeah.
Cormier is just going to walk through that.
It's a great matchup for Cormier, and there's very few bad matchups for Daniel Cormier. His wrestling and his striking's progressed so much, and his wrestling's obviously very good that you're going to be hard pressed to find any bad matchups for Daniel Cormier.
He's the one where you could have like a little 3-ring fight circus here with Jones, Gustafson, Cormier, Jones, Gustafson.
Right.
But the only thing with Cormier that works against him is he's older. You know,
he got a late start, I guess.
Right,
you know,
he
wrestled in the Olympics and got into MMA a little bit later than Jones and Gustafson, obviously. But, I think that he's been, like Chael said, I mean, you know, he's been training since he was a child, mm-hmm. you know, training wrestling, you know, since he was a child. So he had a big leg up on getting started, and he had to learn a little bit of the striking, and I think his striking has gotten ridiculous. And he's at 205 where he belongs. I mean, he didn't belong in heavyweight.
But even his striking at heavyweight, I think back to that Josh Barnett fight in Strikeforce where he was just working him, and Josh Barnett is amazing.
He doesn't look like it, but Daniel Cormier is explosive on every, I mean, if you looked at him, if you take him for face value, he doesn't look athletic at all to me.
No.
I think he has like the Chuck Liddell where it's like he's not fat, but like he doesn't have any definition. So he's like kind of he just looks athletic, but kind of in a weird way.
Yeah. He looks like a former athlete where it's back in the day, this guy was good.
7 years ago, you looked great. You know what happened, but
He's the one where I think, because you're talking about going back to Gustafson, John Jones, where they could be fighting each other. I think you throw in Cormier and those three guys kind of where the third guy in that little triangle has to fight the emerging newcomer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then once he wins, then it's the other
guy. Back to,
it just keeps going like a little triangle.
I think what's interesting about 205 is you had a long period there where the belt was always kind of in circulation, you know, that you had, the Shogun, Lyoto,
you had Shogun, Forrest, Rashad.
Rampage had the belt at one point.
Well, he started it. So Chuck
and then he beat Chuck.
Yeah.
Forrest beat Rampage.
Yep.
Rampage got beat by Lyoto.
Well, hold on. No, yeah. But it went, Chuck Liddell had the belt. Then Rampage beat him.
Yes. Knocked him out.
And then Forrest beat him.
Beat Rampage. That was a great fight.
Yeah. And then Rashad beat Forrest.
Right.
And then
Lyoto knocked out Rashad.
And then Shogun knocked out Machida.
They fought
and
again.
Then John Jones had it. So like five people had it like within 5 months, I felt like.
It was crazy. And now you've had a guy who's, I think he's defended 6 or 7 times now, John Jones, and
I think it's his 8th actually.
It's starting might be true. It's starting to 205 starting to become like 70 and 85 where you had a staple champion, and that's good for business.
When
you have a champ that you can market instead of every month having to make a new poster and, you know, have a new poster boy at the weight class. When you have a GSP who had the title for, 7 years, and you have Anderson who had the title for 7 years. I mean, that's good for business.
Yeah. And this will, transition into our next little topic that I want to get into. But I like when there are a champion you can identify with, because it helps the casual fan.
100%.
Because when they're watching a fight, they want to know who's good.
Mm-hmm. So they want to watch who people think are right. good.
To us, we like the kind of the chaos.
Because we know everybody's good.
Right. Yeah. So we like the chaos of, oh my, like going to 170. Oh my God, Johnny Hendricks, if he rematches Carlos Condit could beat him and then Robbie and all this stuff. But for the casual fan, they want to identify with who's great.
Right.
All right.
Or who's great right now.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to give your sport a chance. Now, who should I watch? Mm-hmm. Well, okay, it's this guy. Yeah. Like right now, I think we would say John Jones.
Right. You know? When you can back that up with, yeah, he's good because he's been the champ for 7 years.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, or like if the Miami Heat win 3 consecutive NBA titles, you're like, okay, yeah, they're the team. And they always will be the team.
Yeah. If I'm going to get into basketball right now and I want to see a really great basketball,
you're watching LeBron.
I'm watching the Heat. Yeah. Right. So. But going into our conversation last night that I want to get into now.
I don't remember it.
Your family was
family.
Was asking us pound for pound, who's the best fighter in the world, and we haven't had this discussion on.
Did we talk about it last night?
Yes, we did.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Who did I say?
You said
I said Jose Aldo.
Jose Aldo. Jose. Yeah.
Yes.
Jose Aldo.
And everyone went crazy.
Yeah, because I completely disagree.
Who did you say?
I said Cain Velasquez.
Okay.
Cain Velasquez.
I remember because, it's coming back to me now.
Right. I don't think we've had that conversation on this show, and so that's why I wanted to talk about it now. But I would say, okay, so Aldo, defend your pick. I'll let you defend your pick.
Well, I'm going to preface my pick with saying I think that John Jones is – this is going to sound really dumb. I think John Jones is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. With that being said, Jose Aldo is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and here's why.
Okay.
This is a guy who – let me back up.
Okay.
When we say pound-for-pound, are we talking about – are we factoring in skill set? Mm-hmm. Are we factoring in strength of competition?
Mm-hmm.
Are we factoring in title, belt, holdage, mm-hmm. length of title held.
Mm-hmm.
If you're factoring all that in, mm-hmm. you're going to be hard-pressed to make an argument against Jose Aldo, and here's why. This is a guy who hasn't had a close fight, in my opinion, in the UFC.
Frankie Edgar?
He hasn't had a close fight in the UFC.
That was a close fight.
As I wanted to say, that was a beating.
That was not a beating.
He hands out – here's the thing. Here's the thing with Jose Aldo. He's the most – violent striker, I think, in any division in the UFC.
Okay.
He's coming to hurt you.
Yeah.
When he throws leg kicks, look what he's done to Uriah's leg. Yeah. Look what he did to Kenny Florian's leg. I mean, he's nasty.
Very.
The reason Jose Aldo isn't in more people's pound for pound, even top 2 or 3, is he's at a weight class that has been historically bad for a lot of years. There hasn't been, other than Jose Aldo, there hasn't been a marquee 45er. Even when Frankie went down to 45, that's what 45 does, people. Frankie Edgar goes down. Frankie Edgar was the best 55er in the world for 2 years, mm-hmm. and no one could touch him.
Right.
He goes down to his natural weight class at 145, and you almost kind of forgot, like, people weren't talking about him.
Yeah.
You forgot about him. 45 is historically bad. You have Chad Mendez. You have, you know, I think the best 45er in the world outside of Jose Aldo is Cub Swanson right now.
Really?
He's killing people, man. Okay. I want to see Cub Swanson fight Jose Aldo.
Yeah, they fought once.
They did. Yeah. Well, it was a quick night, but
right.
I want to see him fight him again.
Okay.
And I think that if he were at a different weight class, if he were at 155 doing what he's doing to people at 145, we wouldn't be having this argument. We would both be going, yeah, so Jose Aldo is you wouldn't.
Right.
Here's why, and I will let you defend your pick after I slander your pick.
Okay, because I'm going to slander yours.
Good.
So go ahead.
Cain Velasquez is a freak of nature, and I can absolutely understand why you think that he is the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. As people say, he fights at heavyweight. He's fighting in the easiest division for him, in my opinion. So he could go to 205. I believe that. He's fighting guys who he can outwork for five rounds. He has better cardio. He has better striking. He's faster, better wrestling. He's in a position where he can be 220 pounds and beat guys that are 285 pounds on fight day. Smash Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, I don't know. He probably walked in the cage at 285.
Right.
Smashed him. Made it look easy.
Very.
There's no other weight class that Frankie Edgar was the only exception, and he wasn't giving up that much weight, but he was the only exception of a guy who could handle guys that were bigger than him because he was smaller. You know, he, I don't know, he found, he found ways to win. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's the pound for pound best, or considered pound for pound best, because he fights at heavyweight. And heavyweight has this stigma of, like, boxing, you know, like, right. the baddest boxer on the planet is the heavyweight champion of the world.
Well,
you know?
I think because if they legitimately got into a real fight.
Oh, yeah. If we're talking about, like, guys that I'm going to pick to be on my fighting team,
right.
Cain Velasquez is, John Jones is probably number one. Cain Velasquez is close.
Right. So this is why I don't put Aldo number one. Now, I have him in my top five. 100%.
Well, I hope so. There's only seven. Jesus.
But I mean,
put him in your top five.
Well, there's other guys.
Thoughtful of you.
Well, there's other guys that aren't champions that are pound for pound. Chad Mendes is one who I think is a pound for pound top 10 guy.
Oh, my God.
Number 9 or 10, but I'm just saying. So, although for me, this is the reason why I don't have him number one. So I'm going to slander your pick and then go into mine.
Now, before you start, where does he fall in your top five?
Number
is he number five?
Number four.
Okay. So, sorry, I'm kind of stealing your moment here. Who is ahead of him? Cain Velasquez, John Jones.
John Jones, and maybe Gustafson.
He's not even a champion.
It doesn't have to be.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to be a champion to be a really, really great fighter.
How can you be the number three pound-for-pound guy in the world and you're not champion of your weight class?
Because John Jones is in that weight class.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So if the number one guy in the world is fighting the number two guy in the world, the number two guy can't be the number two guy because he's not – that doesn't make sense. You can't have him number two pound for pound.
I think
pound.
It's crazy to have two guys in the same weight class
in
the same pound for pound list.
They're amazing.
That kind of defeats purpose of doing a pound for pound when you're picking two guys from the same weight class.
Well, and here's the thing. The reason why, and actually, no, he's not number three. Gustafson's not number three.
Okay.
Hinnan Burrell is my number three.
Man, he's nasty.
That's who, I'm sorry.
He's nasty.
So, listeners, disregard my.
Yeah. We're going to edit that out.
Yeah. Gustafson is in my top 10.
That's buffoonery.
But I was stuck in that 205 because of last night's fights. But
anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hinnan Burrell is my number three.
Very good.
Okay, so Aldo, the reason why he's number four on my list is I've seen him gas a lot of times. Mark Hominick. Rounds four and five,
fair.
I don't know if he could walk. Frankie Edgar. He gassed and was looking like shit.
Yeah.
Those, and so, yes, has he had these dominant, crazy performances?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But Cain Velasquez has literally made it look easy. Other than that.
Has he made it look easier than John Jones?
Yes and no, because I think personally the level of competition Cain Velasquez has been fighting is a little bit better than John Jones.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not Rampage. Rampage sucks.
Brock Lesnar's not good.
Brock Lesnar's not good, but Rampage is on the same level as Brock Lesnar.
Oh my God. Stop.
Are you serious?
No.
Rampage.
Rampage is a legitimate threat.
No, not the Rampage that fought John Jones. Rampage that fought Chuck Liddell. Okay. This Rampage is a shell of himself who throws ones and twos and walks slowly towards the other guy. No, he sucks. Now, he's better than me. I'm not saying.
You're kidding me.
Well, what I'm saying is, when I say he sucks, people are like, he's good, but I'm talking in that realm.
At that level.
I'm trying to clarify my comments.
I got you.
No, Rampage sucks.
Okay.
Shogun sucks.
Okay.
Now
you're just talking crazy.
Chael Sonnen sucks.
Oh my God.
I think the Junior Dos Santos, I think, the Antonio Bigfoot Silvas, I think those guys are better than the Chael Sonnens.
Antonio Bigfoot Silva.
You don't say he's good?
No, I think he's good. I don't think he's better at heavyweight than Chael Sonnen is at 205 or Shogun is at 205.
I do.
I think him and Shogun are the same fighter at two different weight classes. I think they're legitimately the same. Like, you gotta understand. So to your point, I think that all the heavyweights in the world, are, especially guys like Bigfoot Silva, are dangerous because they hit so hard. You know, it's like same at 205. It's same any weight class. Mm. So as far as like strength of competition goes, I don't think that you could even – I think that you could make an argument that John Jones has fought tougher competition to date as the champion than Cain Velasquez has. Now, I'm not saying that Cain Velasquez hasn't fought. I think Junior Santos is great.
I think he's amazing.
I think Bigfoot Silva's great. I think, you know, insert all those guys, they're great. But I don't think they're on the Shogun, Lyoto Machida, Rampage Jackson. I mean, look at Gustafson.
I'll give you Gustafson.
Rashad, man, John Jones has fought some good guys.
No, and he has. That's why he's number two. But I think as a skill set, I think Cain would smash him anywhere. I think Cain has better wrestling than John Jones. I think Cain has – now, John Jones has flashier and more exciting striking, but I think Cain Velasquez is more effective. I think the ground and pound. I think you talked about Aldo having the most vicious striking. I think the most vicious ground and pound ever is Cain Velasquez. It is world-class Jesus Christ. I don't want
to. It goes back to what you're talking about with when you have that kind of cardio and you know you're not going to get tired. Your ground and pound turns into a sprint. Mm-hmm. You know, usually it's old school ground and pound. You know, and sometimes still today it's throw three or four punches. You know, work on you know getting re-breaking posture or reposturing up and throw three or four punches. Cain Velasquez has the ground and pound of a bantamweight or a flyweight.
Right.
Where it's just like furious. It's just flurries of furious, fast punches. And he can do that because he's a 225 pound heavyweight fighting Bigfoot Silva. And he's a guy when he gets on top, you're not going to get out from under Cain Velasquez.
No.
Especially if you're 285. Like Bigfoot Silva's great, but he's not athletic enough to get up when Cain Velasquez is on top of him.
Right.
And that's Junior Dos Santos' problem too. Mm-hmm. You know, he beat him up on the feet, but he took him down whenever he wanted.
Yeah, definitely. But
here's the Cain Velasquez fight.
Okay.
And Cain Velasquez is going to be the champion for a long time.
Yep.
He's going to be the champion for a long time. Mm-hmm.
Unless he gets knocked out phantomly by Junior Dos Santos in a fourth
round. Or.
Go ahead.
Riddle me this.
Okay, I got what you're already.
Here's the storyline that the UFC needs to do.
Okay.
I almost said Dana Cormier. Who are we talking about? Cain Velasquez's toughest fight was Czech Congo.
Okay.
He got dropped three times
uh-huh.
in that Czech. Now he won. His heart is stupid. He's ridiculously good.
Right.
I'm interested to see. Now he's taking shots from JDS. JDS did knock him out,
mm-hmm.
obviously. I'm interested to see if there's a heavyweight that I don't think there's anyone that's a better wrestler than him, but that can wrestle with him to where they're forced to almost strike. I want to see how his chin holds up after another year or two.
Okay.
It's kind of like Chuck's chin went.
Mm-hmm.
Cain Velasquez has been hit with some shots. He's been in some wars. I want to see where his chin is. We've never seen John Jones get hit. Gustafson put some punches on him. That was the first time we ever saw him get hit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he has the mileage. I don't think he will have the mileage that Cain Velasquez will have on his body in the next two or three years.
Right.
I think he doesn't get hit. He's too good.
Mm.
And I think Cain Velasquez has been hit a couple of times.
Yeah, I think back to the second Junior Dos Santos fight he had in rounds 4 and 5. Even though it looked like you know a scene from a scary movie, Junior Dos Santos did land a couple solid punches to the chin of Cain Velasquez, and he walked through it. And so, but I agree, the heavyweight punching on you is going to do a little bit more to your chin than when John Jones trains at Greg Jackson's, and
his training partners are like Cerrone and Diego
Clay
Sanchez.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why. But I have – so my top three goes Cain Velasquez, John Jones, and then Hinnon Brow. I think Hinnon Brow
can be a legitimate problem.
And now let's go into our second conversation we had last night. And conversation.
I remember this.
Okay. Fantasy matchups.
Oh, we did this?
Yes. Nice. I think, and I always hate the super fights, you know, cause like if Pettis fights Aldo, it's a super fight. Well, not really. Cause I don't think a lot of people are, you know, clamoring for that matchup except for hardcore fans. I don't think casual fans care about that fight, but fantasy matchups is something, you know, we could always debate and have fun with. One fight that I want to see is Hinnan Brow versus Jose Aldo.
Train together.
I don't care. John Jones and Rashad train together. They fought, you know. Have them fight.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd watch that fight.
I think Hinnan Brow murders him.
Are you interested at all in the Aldo Pettis fight? That doesn't excite you?
It kind of does.
Really?
But
that fight's awesome.
I think Aldo murders Pettis.
No. Aldo, Pettis doesn't get murdered by anybody.
Yeah, I think he would.
No.
Yeah. Oh, he got, now he didn't get murdered, but
he got worked by Clay Guida.
Yeah, he got worked by Clay Guida.
He just beat Ben Henderson convincingly, finished him.
Armbar.
He finished a guy who I think will always be a top five guy as long as he's in the sport, Donald Cerrone, who I think he is.
Sick.
He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's active. He fights a lot. He fights tough guys. He wins. Now he lost to Dos Anjos. Top five might be a little strong, but he's gonna be a relevant 6-10 guy, mm-hmm, as long as he's in the sport, because he stays active. And even though, you know, he might lose once every five fights, but it's to, I think Rafael Dos Anjos is solid.
Very.
Or it's to Nate Diaz, or it's to Pettis. I mean, he's losing to good guys. And I think he's a guy who is only getting better. Even though he's had 40 fights, he's still, every time you watch him, you're like, wow, mm-hmm, you know, Cerrone's good. You know, he's getting better. He's doing things that, you know, his last fight was very good. And I'm excited. There's so many good matchups for him at 55. I think there's so many good matchups.
Right.
Like Barbosa is so good, and it was like he got tired of striking with him and then just got out of there. Like he was just done. He just finished the fight and then moved on and made it look pretty easy doing it.
And so back to your point, Anthony Pettis.
Yes.
Ran through him.
Smashed him.
Right. But I think Aldo,
you think a guy who can't even break your top five pound for pound list beats a guy who I think is one of the best. He's one of the best fighters in the world, and he is two or three title defenses away from leaping up my pound for pound list in Pettis.
Pettis is on my top 10.
If he beats Gill,
which I don't think he will.
It's an interesting fight. If he beats Gill, he's rapidly climbing up my pound for pound list, and I think he will many others.
Yeah, but I just I got Aldo.
No,
I got Aldo. I got Aldo by TKO in that.
Oh, I don't. I think that'd be a great fight. I really couldn't call it. I think.
What's another one we talked about last night?
I have no
Cain
idea.
Velasquez, John Jones is one we talked
we
about.
We talked, when, what, it was just as me and you?
No, it was all of us.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got Cain Velasquez in that one.
I think what a lot of people don't factor into that, and I think Cain probably wins that fight, but John Jones and Cain Velasquez are the same size.
Mm-hmm.
And John Jones might be bigger than Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
In a year.
Right.
You know, he has two brothers that are in the NFL. They're gigantic. He's a growing boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think he gives up a little bit in the wrestling to Cain Velasquez. I think Cain's a little bit better wrestler. I think Cain would have a problem with John Jones' length. I think that was his problem in the first Dos Santos fight. He figured it out. He closed the distance. He put him on the cage. I think he has a problem getting inside on Jones, but I think he figures it out pretty quickly, and probably wins the fight. I'd love to see it though.
You know what? Going back to last night, I was thinking about this. You know what's bullshit though about John Jones that really irritated me?
What's that?
Is sticking the open hand on the face of Glover Teixeira. Yeah. You can't do that. Cause Joe Rogan even said this. You can't have your hand open and then putting it out there, because then the guy can't advance forward because he's going to get poked in the eye.
I think you can have your hand upright like you're trying to give a high five.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you turn down, like parallel to the ground,
right,
is where you have a problem. Which last night he was doing that by sheer just physics of the joint in your elbow. Like he was, you know, he was. I'm trying to think of what Austin calls that.
Austin Ford.
But it's a legitimate. I mean, it's almost like a reset jab. Like you're resetting your strikes up, I guess. So what he was doing was people think like, oh, like, is he trying to like block his eyes from, you know, like from, it's like, maybe, I mean, maybe that's a little bit of it, but really it's just like what a jab does, you know? So you throw the jab to throw the two behind it, or you throw the jab to throw the hook behind it. You know, you're resetting, you're setting something up. And I think that's part of his setup for his standing elbows for sure.
Oh yeah.
You know, he throws that arm out there like a reset jab and then comes over the top with that elbow.
But I think he has to make it a fist.
Is that, I don't know.
I would say
that. Yeah, you would know better than me. I mean, as far as the rules go.
I just think that has to be a rule. Just because if I put my hand.
I think you can put your hand out flat. Like if it's not fingers out.
But I think it automatically goes fingers out as soon as the guy advances. Yeah. So, asshole, put your hand in a fist. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think.
He does a lot of things that are controversial. I think that this needs to be a rule. Throwing those kicks to the knee.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing those front kicks to the knee.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're talking as much ACL tearing that's been happening in the sport lately. GSP, Dominic Cruz can't get his ACL healthy for any, you know. That's kind of scary. Now, I'm sitting here talking about throwing a front kick to the knee when these guys are getting kicked in the face, but, you know, there's a big difference between, you know, getting knocked out and having a 6-month suspension and then having 9 months off because you tore your ACL and might not ever be able to come. Dominic Cruz might not be able to fight again.
Right.
You know, he might not be able to fight again.
I'm not holding my breath for him to come back.
Now, of course, he didn't tear his ACL from a John Jones front kick, or did he? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but still,
That's very controversial.
It's almost kind of like an unwritten, like, hey, can we not, like, target each other's
knees?
Yeah. you can knee me in the face is fine. Don't knee me in the knee.
Who did that first? I think it was Brandon Vera and Keith Jardine. And Brandon Vera just landed it just flush. And I think it really hyperextended Keith's knee.
That's scary.
That was the first time I remember, like, oh, Jesus, that's a horrible strike. And, yeah, he did it a million times.
Tim Elliott does a kick like that to the thigh. And it hurts. Like, heel to thigh hurts. But targeting knees, like, man, that's, cause he's throwing them at the knees. I mean, he's throwing them at the kneecap.
Yeah, yeah. It's not going to the thigh and then it happens to go to the knee.
Right.
It's going right to where he wants it. Yeah. Yeah. But with going back to that hand thing, I think he needs to stop that. Cause it's unfair. I think Glover should get pissed.
Yeah.
And create a fucking ruckus about it, right?
Right.
And then the next guy, Gustafson, was like, hey, in the rules meeting, like, you know, when they do the rules meeting, like, hey, that asshole over here I'm about to fight, tell him he can't do that. And as soon as he does it in the fight, if you're Gustafson, just stop and look at Big John or whoever it is and be like, hey, he's doing it.
Yeah.
And then that would screw up John Jones's mentality.
We'll have to look into that. I wonder what the ruling – I mean, obviously you can't poke in the eye, so you can't extend a strike with your fingers out. But he wasn't even using it as – I mean, he wasn't throwing it like a strike.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he
was almost using it as like a range finder.
Yeah.
To
Nick Diaz does that.
Nick
a lot,
Diaz does it. A lot of people do it, and it's a pretty solid technique, and it has a purpose. But yeah, I wonder where the line is between putting your hand, you know, what's the rule,
right,
and where's the line of putting your hand flat on a guy's face or in front of a guy's face versus, you know, is this okay? What's the angle that it becomes, I'm trying to poke you in the eye?
Well, Nick Diaz does it, but Nick Diaz almost holds it up like
it's high, yeah.
Yeah, like
it's like a street fighting, like, look up here.
Right.
Hit you.
Yeah. Asking a teacher a question in class, you know, where John Jones is just anyhow,
straight out.
Last night, that was one thing
that bugged you.
Yeah. I was like, man, he shouldn't be able to do that.
What else? Did we talk about anything else last night? I don't remember any of this.
We talked about a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We talked about a lot.
Great. I'm glad we had good conversation.
Yeah. We had amazing conversation.
Cause I just screamed. I just screamed out, this is a beating.
This is a beating. Hey, Turner, who do you got in this fight? I don't know, but this is a beating. All right, well, cool.
That's amazing. Yeah, I don't, I have no recollection of that.
Going back to the John Jones, getting back on topic, the John Jones, Cain Velasquez, I think Yes, the range would be difficult for 15 seconds for Cain Velasquez, and then I think he would smother him and not even let him hold his hand out.
That's probably true.
I think he would just go, oh, that's cool. I see your 87-inch reach or whatever it is, 950-inch reach. I'm just going to take you up against a cage, and your reach is the same as mine right now.
Well, yeah, he's one of those guys, like I heard Tim Elliott say about Benavidez. You know, you don't have to go looking for Cain Velasquez in the fight. He's going to be right in your face.
Exactly. And yeah, they'll go right to you.
It'd be an interesting clash of styles because John Jones is kind of a outside counter puncher. You know, he only really closes the distance aggressively when he's trying to put somebody on the fence. He's not a real push the pace. He's a Jackson's guy, so he. You know, he's methodical about his strikes, and Cain Velasquez is very in-your-face sprint, you know.
Smothers you.
Smothering style that he has, and it'd be interesting clash of styles.
One fight we forgot to talk about last night that I was just looking at my phone, fight of the night was the Gomi fight.
Gomi fight was awesome.
And Flag, or...
Isaac Villaflag.
Yeah, how do you say someone when they have a hyphen name? Do you say both of them, or do you just say the very last name?
A lot of people only say the last name, but...
So Flag.
But he, they say Villaflag or whatever.
I'm saying Flag.
Okay. okay, good.
That was a fun fight.
I love Gomi.
Gomi, as you said last night, is a gangster.
He's a gangster.
Man, and he brought it.
You guys laughed at me when I said there was a time when Gomi was the best fighter in the world.
Yes, that was the other thing. Yeah, no fucking way.
Gomi was the best fighter in the world.
Nobody could
touch Gomi.
Oh,
in Pride.
God. No.
Pride Gomi was like untouchable.
No.
Until Nick Diaz go plotted him. Like,
nope.
Even Fireball, the Fireball Kid was like the guy.
No. No. No.
The Fireball Kid was Fedor before Fedor was Fedor.
No way.
What?
Gomi was.
Gomi's a legend.
Okay, yes. But never was he ever.
Yeah, maybe top not, maybe not the best guy. Ever. Maybe I, that was the.
I don't even think
maybe
he was
that
ever
was
top
the
three.
Vodka talking.
Right,
but he was a
during his time, he lost to the Brazilian guy. I can't think of off the top of my head. I drank a lot last night too.
Yeah,
so.
You did.
Brazilian
guy. What are we talking about? Pride.
Gomi. Yeah, Gomi lost to the Brazilian guy. Shit, let me look it up. While we
well, the point is
and BJ Penn would beat him. During that time, BJ Penn would beat him 10 times out of 10.
Well, yeah, maybe so.
And I never really liked...
But he didn't.
And that's true. He beat him once. Yeah. I never really liked Gomi either because he couldn't make 55.
Well, yeah.
And so,
he's a fat Asian.
Well, look, either go to 50... What's with the... Oh, guess what? We're just going to make this up for you, Gomi. It's 60 now. What the fuck? No.
Well, he was making his lightweight debut at 160.
Oh, that is a good one.
The point is, Gomi's timeless. He's ageless. He looks, first of all, he looks the same.
Yeah,
he hasn't changed since 2000.
He got a little bit less sun this fight.
He looked like a clear gummy bear. Yeah, he looked like he was avoiding. He's avoiding the sun. He looked like a Michael Jackson, but. Yeah.
God dang it. Who did Gomi fight?
He's fought a lot of guys. He's got like 60 pro fights.
I know, but I'm trying to think specifically about this fight.
Oh, yeah, who really knows? Another fight that we're kind of, that I think was my, not favorite fight of the night, but a great fight was Max Holloway, Andre Feely.
Yeah.
That fight was good.
Yeah.
And he got that finish late. That was a James Krause late guillotine.
Mm-hmm.
And Max Holloway is going to be a problem.
Max Holloway's
he's
good.
Young. He's really young. His
looks like he has cancer. But
yeah, he has a loss to Conor McGregor, which is an admirable loss. He that dude's good. That dude's gonna be really good.
Where do you think he goes? Who do you think he fights?
Because
he's one.
He's in a shitty division.
Right.
He probably fights.
He's 55, right? That's 55.
45.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. Maybe they give him.
You know who I want? That's who I want. I'm cutting you off.
For Max Holloway?
Max Holloway. Who? It'll be his UFC debut. And I'm a fan of this guy.
Oh, God.
Joe Ellenberger.
It's a 55er.
No, he's 45. He could be 45.
I thought he was just supposed to fight Wagner Hocha.
Yeah, last night.
Yeah.
And then Wagner got, yeah.
But and I think did you hear the story about Cerrone getting on a plane and going to Baltimore?
Yeah, he's like, I'll do it.
To fight?
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Love that. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
He's awesome.
He got on a plane and he walks around real light. I mean, he's a real small, not small, but a light 55er. And he was like, yeah, I'll start cutting weight tomorrow. Yeah. So on like a Wednesday, he's going to go out there and he fought 2 weeks ago.
And Joe's like, no.
Yeah. I'm going to make my debut against.
But I think he'd go to 45. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I felt like I've seen him fight at 45. That's why I said that.
Yeah, that's a good fight. I mean, I think that they'll probably give him.
I found it. Who Gomi lost to? Marcus Aurelio.
Oh yeah,
that's who it was.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Then he beat him. Yeah.
Who, whatever. He was one of the. I mean, he's the best in the world.
Who?
Gomi.
No.
What?
No.
Can I believe you're not giving the Fireball Kid the respect that he deserves?
Kenny Florian beat him in UFC, but even then, I think Kenny Florian
So did Nate Diaz.
Yeah, I think they both at that time still.
No.
Yeah. Gomi in his pride still loses all the
same
guys.
He hit Nick Diaz with a Hokkaido punch. It's unheard of.
Well, because Nick Diaz didn't respect him.
No one was throwing Hokkaido punches back then.
Anyhow, go back to Marcus or Max Holloway.
Oh yeah, I still can't think of a name that he should fight at 45. But because the problem with 45 is like you have like
have him fight Cub Swanson.
Okay, settle down.
Why not?
That's a beating.
Why?
Because Cub Swanson's really good.
Sometimes.
Problem with 45 is you have a lot of guys. You have the Cub Swanson, the Ricardo Lamas, the Dustin Poiriers, the Frankie Edgar. You have like guys who are like you can only have top five guys, and that's it. Like who else fights
Korean Zombie?
Does anybody else fight at 145 that isn't Dustin Poirier or Cub Swanson? Like, are there any other 45ers in the world? Because I don't know.
Korean Zombie.
Okay, yeah, he's kind of in that category.
He beat Poirier.
He did beat Poirier. He darsed him.
Yeah.
And then Poirier hit a nasty darse, or had a nasty darse attempt on the gentleman that he just fought.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever that was.
Yep.
Whoever he just fought.
That's a good God. Save. I like how you said that.
Who did he just fight?
I don't remember.
Dustin Poirier just fought. Oh my God, dude.
Let's look it up.
I drink too much.
While we're on the air.
Jesus, man. This is embarrassing.
This is fun.
Yeah, anyway, 45s, I don't like 45. I think it's weird. I think that.
Is that your.
There's
least,
no depth.
Least favorite division?
I think so, yeah. It was. I hated 185 for a while.
Why?
Back in the day. There was no allure. Like, he was too good.
Anderson was literally running through everyone.
Even there were still great 85ers, but it would just, the allure to me is, who's the next guy to challenge the champion? Mm-hmm. Who's the guy that can knock off John Jones? Who's the guy that can knock off GSP? You know, who at the time, you know, whoever. And at 85, they kept feeding him strikers or like guys who were black belt in jiu-jitsu who had no striking at all.
Damian Maya.
Talis Leyes fought him.
Oh God, that was like a horrible fight.
It's like they were lining up and it just they couldn't find anybody to give him. Mm-hmm. You know, they like it's weird. It's so weird that Michael Bisping never got a title shot by just default, pure running out of names.
Well, they always wanted to, you know, and that's when we talked about this early in the show. But you know, he got the chance where, hey, you win this one, you got it.
No,
and,
like three or four times. Yeah,
he kept on losing.
He lost. Michael Bisping has a really like. Up and down, has had a really up and down career.
Mm-hmm.
He's beat some of the best guys in the world and he's lost to some guys who are just like, what?
Vanderlei Silva.
He lost to Vanderlei Silva. Yeah. I was just about to say that. I mean, I don't know. My thing is, if you lose to a guy who Rich Franklin was able to beat twice.
Come on. Come on. Rich Franklin beats Michael Bisping.
When? At
now,
what?
Right now.
At what?
At fighting.
What?
Yes.
At fighting?
Yes.
Oh, my God, no.
Are you serious?
Right today?
Yes.
Oh, my God, no.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Sign it up tomorrow.
I don't think there's a top 10 guy that Rich Franklin beats.
Are you serious?
Who?
Michael Bisping for one.
No.
Dan Henderson for two.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Dan Henderson.
Chael Sonnen, I think he beats.
No.
Oh, yes.
Do you think Chael Sonnen beats Rich Franklin?
No, I think Rich Franklin beats Chael Sonnen.
Or that's what I meant. Yeah. That's absolute buffoonery.
No, it's
not. You're letting your fanship get in the way of your brain.
The only style that Rich Franklin absolutely 100% can never, ever beat.
Are strikers or grapplers?
No. Shut up. Is a left-handed Brazilian striker.
Oh, my God.
Look at all of his losses.
Vitor.
Vitor. Anderson.
Anderson's left-handed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's southpaw.
Those guys. Lyoto Machida.
That's interesting. You've really thought a lot about that. That's interesting. Yeah.
It's left-handed Brazilian fighters that Rich Franklin absolutely. Now, the Kung Lee thing was, hey, man, this guy kind of fucking sucks. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, shit. He fucking hit me with the best punch he's ever thrown.
Rich Franklin is. That Rich was a Franklin fluke. Is that was not fluke. Relevant right now.
Oh, no. No, he's about to be the ONE FC vice president.
I saw that. That's weird.
Good for him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
No, he's not relevant right now because he's not active. He hasn't fought in 2 years. But give him.
Was Kung Lee his last fight?
Yeah. The morning of. It was Saturday morning. I saw it at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then I had to work the goddamn Invicta show that night. And I was so fucking.
You didn't have to do Jasper show?
No, I'm so fucking. Oh God, that night sucked because everyone came up to me. I remember Kraus like, hey, how's that fight? I'm like, yep. Yeah. Everyone came up to me and was like, hey.
So that happens when you're a Rich Franklin fan. It's like being a Kansas City Royals fan. You can never win.
Well, I don't know how that is.
You're only because you're a New York Yankees fan.
Yeah.
It's funny that you're a Rich Franklin fan because Rich Franklin hasn't been good since probably 2008.
No way. No way. He's been good. No,
Who is his biggest win? Who's Rich Franklin's biggest win?
Dan Henderson. Even though that was a loss, that was a win. Everyone watches that fight knows it. I've shown the casual fan, and they had Rich Franklin win.
Yeah, well, like my dad always says, you know, there's no comments box. There's just a win and a loss column.
Oh, come on. Like the Matt Hamill, Michael Bisping fight. Everyone know Matt Hamill won that fight.
Yeah, he got jerked.
Right. Same with this. So Dan Henderson is Rich Franklin's biggest win.
Yeah, and also his biggest loss.
No. Yushin Okami.
I mean, these are good wins, but like, oh, he beat Yushin Okami. You know,
you could kind of say that about really anyone back in the day. Hindsight's 20/20.
I don't know. Chuck Liddell, that's pretty big wins.
No.
Randy, Tito.
Jeremy Horn.
Well, he struggles with Jeremy Horn. Come on.
You know what I mean? Like, anyone can do that with any fighter. You can give me any fighter and I can go, oh, bleh, you know, you know, so. But anyhow, let's get back on. What were we talking about?
I don't know, dude. Rich Franklin sucks.
No, he doesn't. God, you guys just say that because I think you just want to get under my skin.
You're wearing your UFC 57 shirt. I love it.
Yeah, I didn't go to this event. I
just bought the shirt.
What I did is I bought the UFC a few years back, put out the trilogy of Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell's fights.
Yes.
And they put it out in like a 3 DVD set, and the shirt just came with it. And I'm like,
oh, nice.
I like it. It fits well.
How do they know what size shirt to give you?
I don't know. It just always fit. Yeah. Yeah. I just grabbed
it. It's a one size fits all.
That's what it feels like. That's because awesome. It was like wrapped up. Like I didn't get to like look at it and try it on. I just grabbed it from Best Buy, and it tells you how long ago this was. I bought a DVD from Best Buy. But and then I had the shirt, and I was like, I like it. Keep wearing it.
I like that you like it.
Yeah. It makes me feel like I'm a real fan too. Like, oh yeah, UFC 172. Yeah. I've been watching it since 57.
Let me dust off my UFC 57 t-shirt.
Yeah. You know what UFC 58 was?
No.
It was BJ Penn, GSP 1, and then Rich Franklin defeated David Loazo.
That's probably his biggest win.
No. At the time, he was the number one contender.
He beat the Crow.
Yeah. Number one contender at the time. You can't fault Rich Franklin for guys that UFC matched him up with.
I don't fault Rich Franklin because Anderson Silva was in the same boat after Rich Franklin. I mean, he.
Yeah, Talis Ladies.
Damian Maya.
Patrick Cote. Yeah. See what we're doing to Anderson Silva? And he's the greatest of all time. We can go, Patrick Cote. You know, so yeah, you could do that with any fighter.
Yeah, but then he beat Chael Sonnen, who's really good.
Oh, he is not. He is. 62 losses.
Yeah, he lost to Rashad. He lost to Anderson Silva.
He lost to Babalu.
He has a win over Shogun.
He lost to Babalu.
Babalu's good. Babalu beats Rich Franklin today.
No.
100%.
No way. Babalu, not even close.
Babalu's good.
He couldn't even touch Rich Franklin. He couldn't even grab him. Oh, that was one thing we had talked about last night too. That was really fun. I like how we're just recapping.
I love that we had these conversations. I don't remember them.
I kind of wish there was a senior circuit where, like, Rich Franklin.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah, where like Rich Franklin could fight Babalu.
God, I love these conversations.
I wish you remembered them.
I wish I did too. What were my thoughts in the senior circuit? I was for it.
Yeah, you liked it. You said, yeah, just don't have any weight divisions. They just show up.
Yeah.
At like whatever weight they are.
Yeah.
So like Matt Hughes versus Randy Couture, like whatever weight that is, both guys just showing up.
Well, yeah, you'd have to regulate. You wouldn't want a guy that's like 280 fighting
right.
a guy, but
right.
like, you know, you could do like a 200 to 265, you know, make it where they don't have to cut.
200 to 220.
Yeah, you don't want to cut weight when you're, I mean, right. Rich Franklin, good Lord, he's old.
It's not old.
His body
Silva,
can't handle cutting weight.
Anderson Silva's older than him.
Yeah, but Anderson's good.
Anderson's great. There's only a couple great fighters, and he's one of them.
GSP.
It's great.
Yes.
That's in my great category. I remember having this argument with Anthony about good and great, because we were talking about, does a champion make someone great? If you're the champion,
no.
Are you an all-time great?
No.
Exactly.
I don't think so. I think
maybe that wasn't.
I think that's the first. I think that's the first step to becoming great.
Right.
But you know, there's been guys to hold belts who I don't think are considered.
Dave Monet.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think that. I don't think there's a lot of people who consider Brock Lesnar to be a great fighter.
Great athlete.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a freak of nature!
That's one hell of a promo.
Oh my God, He's Jesus Christ. He's amazing. He almost played professional football, never playing the sport.
Yeah.
He was the last person cut on the Vikings, which the Vikings were a good team at that time. And he had never played the sport.
He's an athlete. No one's ever knocked his athletic ability.
Oh my God.
His haircut's stupid.
And his tattoo on his chest.
His tattoo is stupid.
It's really stupid.
He's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But he's rich.
Yeah. What'd you think of speaking of stupid things, what'd you think of John Jones doing the Ray Lewis dance before the fight?
John Jones is a clown.
However, last night they cheered the shit out of him.
Chandler Jones plays in Baltimore, or Arthur Jones, one of them, played for the Ravens. I don't think he does anymore.
Okay, so maybe that's why. Because usually he gets some boos and some hisses and you sucks.
He's got some Baltimore connections.
Yeah, it seemed like everyone was behind him last night, and they went nuts when he did that.
He did that Ray Lewis dance. Yeah, he's just a clown, man, and he's had a hard time resonating with the fans. And there's a lot of things that he.
I like
he's
the,
done.
I like the dance, but if you watch back to it, he screams like a bitch. Like, what?
He's just weird, man.
Yeah, now, I know he'd kill me, but I'm just saying, God, that sounded so stupid.
I think he is doing a really good job of being the heel.
Ooh, wrestling
Thank you.
Term.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, and it's putting him in a position to... not that he wouldn't be relevant, but people talk about John Jones because a lot of people don't like him.
Yeah, a lot of people want to see him.
He's
lose.
Like the opposite of like the poster boy that you know he.
It's like boxing
doesn't interact well with the fans.
Right.
He doesn't.
Well, it's like boxing with Floyd Mayweather. You're for me at least. I tune into a Floyd Mayweather fight if I'm going to watch it to hopefully see this little bastard
get
knocked out.
Yeah,
like that's why I don't care if he wins the round. I could give a shit,
right.
But I want to see him lose. And so that's why I think with MMA, John Jones kind of that same category. It's like we want, and I think Anderson Silva fell into that too when he was doing
towards the end of his reign. He definitely did.
Like
people weren't liking it. People weren't digging him. People were, and the good thing is the bad guy never gets forgotten.
Right.
People forget about the good guy because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
The bad guy doesn't get forgotten.
Right.
People aren't going to forget about Chael Sonnen.
Yeah.
People aren't going to forget about John Jones because,
Nick Diaz.
Yeah, because people genuinely, you don't forget about people that you hate.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah, he's made more power to him. It's going to make him a lot of money.
Definitely going to make a lot of money. So
I always wanted to see the GSP heel turn. I thought that would be a good storyline.
Getting a little crazy. Let's wrap this up. We're talking wrestling. We're talking wrestling. So,
good show.
Very good show. We talked a lot of bullshit.
We
recapped
did.
A lot. You can kind of hear our hangovers, I think.
Oh,
in this,
yeah.
This episode.
My head's so broken.
All right. Well, for Turner, I am T-Mac. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be back next week.